The Strategist. My career at New London University suggests this possible for mutual understanding and agreement to prevent even the ordinary use of English language. Reich, 2005. And admission into the English graduate program. Contesting admission, J. Peters, 2008. There is very little I or anyone else knows about the life or even whereabouts of Dr. Reich today, and I can only speak about what happened 10 years ago. And very little information, even from back then, explains how Dr. Reich became so involved in my circle of friends and family, academic life, and ultimate demise. I met Dr. Reich in a class called Voices of Foucault, a graduate seminar in philosophy, interpretation, and culture I was taking through the PIC department. I was banned from taking any graduate classes in the English department, so I looked elsewhere for courses, and I had found the perfect class in Voices of Foucault. The class was taught by Dr. Russ, a distinguished professor of philosophy. The course was a survey of all Foucault's books, lectures, and writings. After the restriction was placed on my registration file, I made my decision to go ahead and register for this class anyway. The very first day, I arrived early, and inside the classroom was one woman with a Think New London pin on her lapel. By the time classes began in the spring semester, when Voices of Foucault started, I was already hearing voices and was extremely paranoid. When I met Dr. Reich for the very first time, she introduced herself to me as a student sitting in on one of Dr. Russ's classes. I asked her if she meant auditing, a method where students could review coursework before a dissertation defense or avoid academic probation in other circumstances. I introduced myself as a non-matriculated graduate student, and those words were enough to spark our conversation and set the trajectory for a series of bizarre circumstances that took place for the rest of the semester and my undergraduate experience in college. The first bizarre occurrence was that very day, at the conclusion of the first class with Dr. Russ. Dr. H and I went outside during break to smoke and began to launch into the real reasons we were in the class. I confessed to Dr. H that I was restricted from taking graduate courses in English, so I wanted to take a course with a familiar professor in another department. I explained to her about the staff and key players from the English department and how I wasn't on good terms with many of them, including the graduate school director and Dr. Harris. During the same conversation, after dropping so many names and allegiances, Dr. H confessed to me she was vaguely familiar with my story, because she had mutual friends with some of the faculty members of the English department. I was intrigued by this. With my restriction, I couldn't even physically come near those same faculty members Dr. H was friendly with outside of the context of the university. The confession went deeper, though. Dr. H was not a student. She was a terminated facility member of the School of Management. Later that night, I talked on the phone with some friends about my experience. It seemed as if my friends were familiar with this terminated faculty member, and they warned me point blank about her, using not so subtle language to stay away. But I wasn't listening to anyone's advice at this point in my illness, not my friends, and certainly not the English department and faculty. Something made Dr. H's advice so different than what I had heard from everyone that I had known previously. I was under the delusion that Dr. H was a liaison from the university, and I fully believed that just by the attention Dr. H gave by listening to my situation, she was somehow in my life to help negotiate a peaceful solution and resolution to either the loitering charge I had gotten from the department or overturning the admission decision altogether.